Man, family functions have the weirdest dynamic, bro. Like, how have you known these people your entire life, but have still never gone past the surface level conversation? I mean, let me know if it's just my family, but every function is the same. The whole gang links up, and everyone just asks the most generic small talk questions to each other. Hey, how's that new place you bought? Oh, yeah, you know, it's good. And how's the kids doing? Oh, you know, they're good. Oh, and how's the wife? Man, fuck your wife. I don't want to hear any of these NPC conversations, bro. And let me know if I'm getting too specific here, but what about that one uncle who goes by the name of either Bob, Jerry, or Dave? And this dude will just always be saying the most out-of-pocket things imaginable. Oh, how's your daughter Jane doing? Oh, Jane's always been hot, eh?
Bob, she's 15!
This uncle be at the family function thinking it's Coachella or something.
Bob, another beer's a little bit excessive, don't you think?
Yeah, football!
I'm the youngest person in my whole family, which for whatever unspoken reason, it just means everyone has the go-ahead to flame the living shit out of me. Hey, Chain, still no girlfriend, huh? I guess you're not too good with the ladies there. But I make one joke back and I'm the bad guy. You don't seem too good with the ladies yourself, seeing as your wife just divorced you and she took the kids with her. Am I right? Not only do they feel free to roast your whole existence simply because you were born last, they unanimously decide you will be everyone's personal butler. Hey bud, go get another beer for me. Alright, yeah, for sure. Thanks. Now you better get started on mowing that lawn. Grass isn't gonna cut itself, am I right?
Oh my god, bro.
And coming into these family functions, you would think your mom is your closest ally. But as soon as she gets the chance, she will expose your biggest secret for a little bit of parent clout. You guys will never guess what I found under Chain's bed yesterday.
Oh my god, what is it?
Yeah, tell
what?
Us.
What? No way.
Sometimes when my family tries to make small talk with me, they just miss the boat completely. So, buddy, how's those swimming lessons going for you? The swimming lessons I took when I was 5?
Yeah, right, those ones.
They're good. I finished them a little while ago.
Oh, is that right? Good for you, buddy.
And bro, don't get me started on those recycled ass jokes.
Well, looks like you got your workout for the day.
Oh, looks like you've gotten so tall. What are you feeding this kid, am I right? Oh, Bob, I think you got some food in your beard.
Oh, don't worry, I'm saving it for later.
Ah, good one,
oh,
Bill.
Oh, Bob, he's so funny.
Thank you.
I guess everyone at the function must have Alzheimer's or something. Because these jokes will have them cracking up like they haven't heard the same joke the past 15 functions. But cousins, man. Cousins are the saving grace of family functions. Without cousins, you would have no choice but to participate in the tomfoolery of small talk. I'd be walking in the function just praying to see that one cousin. And bro, I have a family function survival tip for you. You always have to stay within arm's reach of either your siblings or your cousins. Because whenever some bullshit goes down, you just give each other the look and flee the scene. And because when you get caught lacking on your own at the function, you get jumped. Metaphorically speaking, of course.
As a broke stick man like myself, I spent my fair share of time on the bus. And if you spend a long enough time on the bus, you will see some weird ass shit. I mean, I remember my first time getting on the bus by myself. I was feeling strong and independent. Next thing I know, a crackhead sits down beside me talking about,
"Yabba dabba do. The world is ending and you're gonna die a painful and lonely death, buddy."
And just like that, I went from strong and independent to shitting my pants. Yeah, bro, the bus is just something else. Like, 1 in 10 people who enter the bus are straight gremlins, bro. I'm talking about the gremlins who know the perk is fake, but they still pop it. Now you just gotta sit next to this motherfucker for another 30 minutes while he tells you about the kids in his basement. But to be fair, these gremlins aren't even the worst part of the bus. The worst part of the bus is the energy. You walk in there and everyone just stops and looks at you like they're sizing you up or some shit. And you know who sizes you up the most?
The fucking goddamn motherfucking bus driver, bro. These bus drivers are just eternally pissed off. Every time I would get off the bus, I would try and cheer bro up, but they're just like allergic to happiness or some shit. Hey, thank you. Have a great day, man.
Shut your ugly ass up, little boy. I already know you get no bitches with your big ass forehead, no drip having ass with your skinny ass arms. Boy, you're built like a stick man, bruh.
Damn. Hey, bro, there could really only be two reasons why these bus drivers are so mad all the time. Either they had a demon villain origin story where they were abandoned as a child and never shown any form of love until one day. In freshman year of high school, Timmy met Linda. Linda was kind, smart, beautiful, and she paid attention to Timmy when nobody else would. Timmy asked Linda to be his girlfriend, and she said yes. They dated all throughout high school, and they even got into the same university so they could be together forever. Until one day, when Timmy's world was flipped upside down. Timmy found out Tyrone had been laying some mean pipe on Linda this entire time. Everyone in Timmy's school made fun of him. Timmy could not let this slide. So he called out Tyrone to run the ones in front of the entire school. And without a single word, Tyrone winds up and hits Timmy with the meanest left hook any stick man had ever seen, leaving Timmy slept, out cold, unconscious, in front of his classmates, his teachers, and even in front of Linda. 'Cause shit, if that happened to me, I'd be just as mad as Timmy over here. Now, realistically, the only other reason these drivers are so constantly mad would be because the driver's seat secretly has a stick built in. You see, this would explain why the driver constantly has a stick up his ass. I mean, shit, you really can't even blame him for being mad. But still, I'm gonna blame him. 'Cause I know these motherfuckers get pleasure whenever they see me running at full speed trying to make it to the bus stop in time. 'Cause they start stepping on the gas.
Dumbass.
To be honest, there's nothing that leaves you more defeated than when you're sprinting to a bus stop. Then that shit just cruises on by and everyone on the bus is laughing at you. Damn. Honestly, at that point, I just give up and go home. But it hits a little bit different when that bus is your only way home. And it was the last bus. 'Cause it's 2 a.m. And now you gotta bunk up with the gremlins on the side of the street. All because that goddamn bus driver had a stick up his ass. When you link a girl and you both bring a friend, man, what could possibly be better than a two-man mission?
Three-man mission.
And when you go on a three-man mission, you need to be able to trust those homies with your life, bro. 'Cause I don't know why, but 100% of the time you go on a three-man mission, somebody's gotta take one for the team, bro. Like, it's just inevitable. And if your homie isn't willing to eat the shit sandwich in order to see the gang succeed, the entirety of the gang is eating the shit sandwich, bro. And on top of that, you need your homies to have your back when you crack a shitty ass joke. 'Cause if you're in a group of six people and not a soul laughs, yeah, nah, you're done, bro. Like, you're cooked. You're sauteed, bro. Like, pack it up. It's over with. Like, yo, guys, what do you get when you mix human DNA with goat DNA? Oh my god, what do you get? Wait, no, let me guess. No, I don't know. What do you get?
Kicked out the petting zoo. Fuck. I sold.
Actually, that's a really good joke.
Facts. Wait, it was?
And lucky for me, I got the two most perfect dudes for the job. Bob and Billy, so you know we were no strangers to the game. Like, we had 99 chemistry, bro. We were like Jordan, Pippen, and Rodman, setting up these plays, passing, alley-ooping, and dunking that shit. In these streets, they called us the real big three. And one day, the real big three hopped on a plane to Mexico. And this story takes place way back
like a month ago. And this story doesn't just contain one three-man. Not two three-mans, but three different three-man missions. And with these three different chances, will me, Bob, and Billy be able to find love in Mexico? Or will we get set up and kidnapped by the cartel? Find out coming up on this episode of Billy, Bob, and Chains.
Wait a minute.
So, boom! We get to Mexico and we're staying at an Airbnb, so we start with all the essentials. We unpack, get some food, check out the rooms, download Tinder, play some music, get settled in, you know, shit like that. And some of you may be thinking, damn, Chains, Tinder? Shit, I didn't know you were down bad like that.
And let me just clear this up, alright? I'm not, okay?
I'm down horrendous. And you really don't know me at all if you thought I was gonna leave Mexico without running a three-man with the homies. So I'm just doing what I gotta do. Don't hate the player, hate the game. So we got there on a Monday, and for the first few days, we're exploring, we're trying some food, going to the beaches. It's great, you know, a bunch of nice and relaxing shit. But at night, it was grind time, bro. I was swiping more than a girl with daddy's money, and I was shooting more shots than Drizzy Drake at his local middle school. So by the time Thursday rolled around, I secured the first three-man mission of the trip. And when I told the boys, they were hyped as fuck. I mean, Bob was so excited, dude almost made a facial expression. So before we went out, we had to get teed up. And lucky for us, we spent half our food budget on a few bottles of vodka. So we're absolutely down in that shit until our Uber pulls up. We hop in the Uber and get dropped off by some bars where we plan to meet the girls. Now keep in mind, at this point, all I've seen of this girl is pictures. And you know there's a brutal catfishing epidemic going on. So let's just say it's completely in the realm of possibility that I set up a link with three big buff Mexican dudes. And Lord knows I'm crossing my fingers. like hopefully there's like no big buff Mexican. I don't want the big buff Mexican dude. So my heart dropped to my balls when I got a tap on my shoulder and turned around to see a not so buff Mexican dude with another not so buff Mexican dude with the three girls.
Oh, hey. Oh no, don't worry. These are just my friends, by the way. Hey.
Hi. Oh,
that
shit.
Makes
okay.
Sense.
Okay. Yeah, what's up?
And not only was I relieved that she wasn't a jack dude, but she was fine, nice, and she spoke English.
Same with Bob's girl and Billy. Yeah, nah, he had to take one for the team for sure.
Hey, bro, I'm sorry, but this is just the way the cookie crumbled.
Shit, bro, can we get another cookie?
It's too late, bro, it's already crumbled.
And Billy took that shit like a champ, bro. So all eight of us go to a bar and we're just talking, getting to know each other and shit. And I notice Billy just keeps the tequila shots coming. I mean, we were only 10 minutes into the conversation, but this dude is 10 shots deep at this point. And all of a sudden, this dude starts laying down that Google Translate riz, and he's dropping hard emojis and shit, and I'm like, damn, respect. I mean, he's taking this extremely well. And after about 30 minutes of talking to this girl, I look over at Billy and I start to see some wild ass emojis being thrown around. Like,
oh shit, Bob. Yo, I think Billy forgot he's the one taking one for the team.
So me and Bob cut him off of the tequila, and then my girl is like,
hey, do you guys want to come over to our place?
Yeah,
oh, yeah,
should.
Hell yeah!
Is he alright?
Yeah, he's fine.
So we hop in their whip and go to their crib. And at this point, it's getting kinda late. So we're just chilling, listening to music and things of that nature. When me and Bob realize Billy and his girl are nowhere to be seen. So I turn to Bob and I'm like,
yo, should we stop him?
Damn, bro, you're right. We can't let him do that shit. And listen, bro, I've never been the type of dude to cock block, but if it's the homie who's about to interlock with the chalk chick at this o'clock, I'll walk up, knock and lock, and block that cock if I have to. And so I did just that. I walked up, knocked, of course, unlocked the door, and respectfully, I blocked that cock.
Yo, what are you doing?
I'm taking one for the team, remember?
Nah, I think the team's doing just fine,
but
bro.
You know me. I was gotta do it for the team, like for
I don't think the team needs this one, gang.
No. Remember, I'm supposed to be like taking it for the team. Like this is for the.
Yeah, you're right.
Let's just go home, Billy.
No, wait. Well, how are we gonna get home? We're in Mexico.
Man, shut the.
So we said our goodbyes, got in the Uber, and man.
I felt like a basketball coach whose son just lost to a special needs team, bro.
Hey, listen, bro. I had a lot of tequila tonight. I'm sorry. I just
Billy, I'm not mad.
I'm just disappointed.
Damn, bruh.
And the next morning, we woke up, and I'm not gonna lie, we felt it a little bit, especially Billy. Billy was in physical and mental agony. But we have a secret method to get rid of any hangover instantly. It's called vodka. So we're practically eating this bottle for breakfast, and once everyone was healed up, we hit the beach and had a fantastic day. It was stupendous, really, and once the sun started to set, we got some food, and man, it was gas, bro. I had the best nachos of my life, and as I'm consuming this orgasmic meal, I get a little notification on my phone from a new girl.
Yo, you got any friends?
Oh, shit.
And I'm like, hell yup.
Then she's like,
I'm going out with some friends tonight. You guys should come.
And I'm like, hell yup. And just like that, we secured our second
three-man mission.
So we absolutely house that fucking meal, go back to the crib, get ready, tee up, you know the drill. We hop in the Uber and get dropped off in the same area where the clubs and bars are to meet these girls. And when we get there, Bob and Billy are both praying they don't gotta take one for the team this time. And I'm there just chilling like, yo, this is why I set up the three mans, cause then I never have to take one for the
chains. Is that you?
Shit. Who's asking?
It's me, Sarah.
Oh, no way. Really?
Like really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No. You must be looking for the other chains. No, don't worry. This happens all the time.
No. Chains for real. Yeah, look at this. This is you.
Oh, fuck. Would you look at that? I guess it is me.
Fuck.
Like, shit, I don't know how she did it, but she got my ass, bro. I got catfished nicely. But I guess it was just my turn to take one for the team. And I look up at who she brought, and she pulled up with four straight dimes for the homies to choose from. Like, bro, why me? So we're walking, and the girl I'm temporarily associated with is like,
hey, let's go to the club.
Yeah, let's go.
So we go to this club, eight people deep, and the girls are like,
yeah, let's buy a bottle.
Yeah. Where's your money?
¿Qué? No entiendo.
Wait, I could have swore you spoke English.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm fluent for sure, yeah.
You said you wanted a bottle, right?
Yes, please.
Yeah, you got bottle money?
Ah, no entiendo, no hablo inglés.
And now I'm starting to get the vibe that whole time, these girls just wanted a free bottle. And as soon as I start catching on, she starts upping her game, like,
oh my god, you're so strong, look at these muscles.
So I go to give Billy one of those side eyes, and when I look over, these motherfuckers are completely lost in the sauce.
Yeah, I'm buying a bottle, everyone. Bottles on me.
So Billy pulls me aside like,
yo, we gotta split a bottle, bruh.
Nah, I'm really not fucking with this girl.
Come on, bruh, please. I need it, bruh. Just take one for the team. Come on, take one for the team.
All right, bruh, I'll split it with you.
Thank you, bro.
I got you.
So are you guys getting a bottle?
Yeah. We're getting a bottle.
Oh my god, you're so strong and you're a baller.
Yeah.
Baller? The fuck?
I don't know, bruh. She's weird as hell.
Yo, can I get a bottle for this table?
Yeah, for sure. What do you want?
Listen, bruh. Just give me the cheapest shit you got.
Oh, I feel you, bruh. Times are tough, you know? That'll be 1,100.
Goddamn. That's a lot of pesos, bruh.
Pesos?
Yeah, like 1,100. That's a lot of pesos.
Nah, amigo, that's USD. Bam! Plus $500 to walk it to you with the Chicago fee of $350. And for the tip, it'll
just cost you your left testicle.
Oh, no, that's my favorite nut, bruh.
Yo, Billy, we don't got it like that.
Yeah, hell no. Let's just not get it, bruh. At least these girls are already fucking with us without it, though, right?
Yeah, facts.
Yo, we're not gonna get the bottle.
Oh, why not?
You can just buy it. It's not that big a deal.
Nah. It's cause we don't got enough money.
They fucking dipped, bro.
Quick as hell, too. They all just evacuated, bruh.
No, bruh. That was my wifey.
And I'm just over here thinking, damn, I'm just glad I didn't have to see that shit through, bruh.
But Billy, yeah, he was really going through it.
Until he got distracted by some other random girls in the club. So at this point, all three of us are on the dance floor, absolutely fucking that shit up, when I start getting spammed on my phone. So I go to check who it is, and it's the gold digger girl, like,
hey, we all went to the club right beside it, but we can all split this bottle. It'll be $86 per person, plus tip, that'll be $95 each.
And she's literally telling me the whole price breakdown of this bottle. She pretty much just sent my ass an invoice. And I'm like, hell nah, I don't care if that shit would have been free. There is no way I'm ever gonna see this girl ever again. And then I get a tap on my shoulder, and it's three big
buff Mexican dude. I'm just playing. It was the gold digger girl, but this time I probably would have preferred the buff dudes. Cause this girl grabs me by the arm, pulls me outside with all her homies, and starts breaking down the price again. Okay, the bottle is $700, but you just gotta pay $95 each, okay?
Yeah, we're in. Let's do it.
No, what? Billy, chill. So I call an emergency meeting with the homies, and we huddle up, and I'm like, listen, you guys can go with them if you want, but there's no way I'm going and paying for this girl's bottle. Fuck that, bro. You're right. We could find something better for sure. So we jump ship. Absolutely abort mission.
Yo, what's that over there?
I'm not stupid. I'm not falling for that shit.
Nah, is that Jeff Bezos handing out free bottles to catfishes?
Wait, what? Where?
So we evacuate and start roaming the streets when I get a tap on my shoulder. I take a deep breath, turn around, and it's the girls from the OG3, man. Like, oh my god, Chains, what are the chances?
Yo, what's up?
And me and Bob are hyped, but Billy's over here having traumatic anime flashbacks and shit.
You guys should come with us. We know the best spot here.
Oh shit,
yeah.
Bet.
Fuck.
So they take us to this club bar thing, and it's fucking bumping, but as soon as we get inside, Billy disappears, bro. And I don't even blame him. He's staying as far away from this girl as possible, not because he's scared of what she's gonna do, but because deep down, he's scared of what he might do. But regardless, me and Bob continue to respectfully obliterate the dance floor for about an hour straight, and then the girls are like, hey, it's getting kinda late, so we're gonna head out now.
I bet.
Wait.
Yeah.
And once me and Bob had officially decimated the dance floor beyond repair, we realized there's an upstairs that leads to a balcony. So of course me and Bob go to explore that shit. And as we walk out onto the balcony, we see Billy with this one girl who looks our age, who happens to have a friend who also looks our age. And once again, Billy is absolutely laying down that Google Translate riz, but this time he's really cooking. So me and Bob start talking to her friend named Mia. I get her Instagram, and then Billy's like, all right, let's go. The Uber's here.
Uber? Uber to where?
Oh, my bad. I forgot to tell you, but Camilla and me are coming back to the B&B.
What the fuck?
Don't you think we gotta discuss shit like that?
Nah.
Bro, what?
All right, Uber's here. Let's go.
So Billy and the girls go to the Uber, but me and Bob stay back to discuss what the actual fuck is going on right now.
Yo, this is a bad idea, right?
But we can't let them do this shit alone.
Shit, Bob. Do we even have a choice?
So we leave the bar and start walking to the Uber when this girl stops me and she's like,
hi, what's your name?
Oh, I'm Chains. What's your name?
Oh, my name's Sophia.
And Sophia's trying to make some small talk and shit like that, but Billy's already waiting in the Uber, so I'm like,
well, it was nice to meet you, but I gotta go.
Oh, well, let me get your Instagram real quick. So I give her my phone, she follows herself, and then gives me my phone back. And when I lay my eyes on the screen, I realize we have a mutual. And I'm just surprised, because we're in Mexico, bruh. So I go to check who it is, and it's Mia. And at this moment, everything started piecing itself together to make our third
three-man mission.
So I'm like,
yo, you know Mia?
Oh, Mia? That's like my best friend. Why?
Word? You mean this Mia?
No, oh my god, way. Mia! So Sophia hops in the whip, and we're all just talking, and then Mia says,
yeah, so like, we don't have work tomorrow.
Oh, shit. Do you guys work together?
Yeah, we do.
Damn, what do you guys do?
Oh, you know, we dance.
What, where do you guys dance?
Like in the club?
Oh, shit. Yeah. That's what's up. Yo, how old are you guys, by the way?
21.
24.
25.
Damn! Sorry. Do you guys happen to have any, you guys happen to have kids by chance?
Of course, I have two.
I have a baby boy.
One of
them
is
a
3-year-old boy.
I also have two daughters.
Oh, fuck. Yo, Bob, you think it's too late to, abort mission? And I don't know how, but none of that information seemed to faze Billy in the slightest. Because now he's out here making out with this girl like... Fuck them kids, bro. And the whole car ride, I'm just thinking, what the fuck is going on, bro? But soon enough, we arrive. We all hop out of the whip, go to our B&B, put in the code for the lockbox, get the key, unlock the door, and go inside. Now for context, the crib had two couches and a master bedroom. And that bedroom is where I used to sleep, and I say used to because as soon as we got to the B&B, Billy and Camila went straight to my room and start... playing patty cake. Loud as hell, too. And so all of us are just sitting on the couch like, hola. ¿Cómo estás?
Fuck.
And this motherfucker, Billy, was just making up for every single time he had to take one for the team. And after the longest 20 minutes of my life, Billy walks out of the room smiling from ear to ear like,
what? Well, why's everyone looking at me? Shit, you guys could hear that?
Then Billy cops the girls an Uber, they dip, and I'm looking at Billy like,
bro, what? Like, what the actual fuck just happened?
Hey, man, listen. It's just the way the cookie crumbles.
Nah, bro, you are crazy.
And at this point, it was probably 4 a.m. or something. So I go to my room to look at where I'm supposed to sleep. And there's a bunch of looped up rappers on my bed. And I'm not talking Diddy. So needless to say, after a long night, I slept on the couch. And we all woke up rotten, bro. So rotten, even the vodka method wouldn't work. So we decided if anything could make us feel better, it would be a plate of the world's best nachos. So we get ready, leave the crib, and then Billy's like,
yo, who's got the key?
Shit, I don't got it.
Bob, you got it?
I mean, it's probably on the counter where we always put it, right?
Yeah, facts.
We check the counter, it's not there. We check the tables, not there. We check the couches, bedroom, kitchen, nowhere to be seen. So we scavenged the entirety of the Airbnb. We even looked through every single bag of garbage and it was nowhere.
Bro. Did those girls finesse our key?
Nah. Camilla wouldn't do some shit like that.
She would, bro.
Yeah,
you don't even know.
Bro,
this
no, she
is
wouldn't.
Your
How
fault.
Would you,
you
know
brought
her
her
you
to
don't
the
know
crib.
Her, bro.
She
I know her better
club.
Than you know
right,
her.
Chill. Mia texted me.
She said, let's go to the pool today.
Oh, shit. Camilla texted me the same thing.
Damn.
And in my head, I'm thinking about it, and I'm putting everything together.
Shit.
Are you thinking what I'm thinking?
I think so.
These girls stole the key and invited us to the pool so the crib would be empty so they could get three big buff Mexican dudes to pull up and loot the crib.
Fuck, I knew
Damn,
it.
Damn, she got my ass, bruh.
So hell no, we didn't go to the pool with them, and for the next few days, we were on high alert. We would only leave the crib in pairs, and one dude would stay back, strapped up with kitchen knives, ready to take on three big buff Mexican dudes.
Pause.
Until it was Monday, the night before our flight home. So we're packing everything, getting ready to go home, and I hear Billy shout, Chains?
Yo, what's up?
Yo, guess what I got, bruh?
Chlamydia?
No.
Gonorrhea?
What? No.
Herpes?
No, it's in my suitcase.
Your suitcase got herpes?
No, it's the key. How the fuck?
I don't know!
Yeah. Awkward conversations. We all know them and we all hate them. Hey, how are you? Oh, I'm good. How are you? I'm great. How are you? You already asked me that.
Damn, you right. You right.
So, how's your day going? My pet frog just died.
Damn,
that's tough. I find myself taking the most inconvenient routes to avoid an awkward conversation. Like, I can't really explain the feeling of an awkward conversation, but it's just mildly uncomfortable. Like, I would compare the discomfort levels of an awkward conversation to wearing wet socks. Like, it's not the end of the world. But let's keep it real, no one wants to wear wet socks. And honestly, I would take a slightly inconvenient path if it meant I would not have to wear wet socks. Also, I feel like there's some other situations that are in the awkward conversation family that I also hate. For example, the handshake fist bump dilemma.
Yeah, it was nice seeing you.
Yeah.
Oh, fist bump. Oh, no, sorry.
God damn it. After you experience one of these bad boys, you'll be thinking about it cringing for the next hour. And if you're anything like me, you might even lose some sleep over it.
Man, why the fuck they're not going for the handshake, bruh? Obviously it was a handshake.
And what about the good old you said goodbye to the person you're talking to, but you guys both walk the same way situation? I mean, this situation is the perfect way to ruin a smooth conversation.
Yeah, man, it was really nice to see you.
Yeah, for sure. See you later, bro. Alright, peace out. alright, bye. Bye. Shit, we're still walking the same way? I'll just turn this way so it's not awkward. Man, what the fuck? And even if I say goodbye to someone and we're still in the same general location, I will avoid them at all costs. Like once me and my brother were chilling at Walmart and we saw one of our neighbors. So we talked for a little bit, you know, said our farewells and went separate ways. But when it came time for me and my brother to check out, we saw the same neighbors checking out. And we were up in the Walmart looking like we were playing Assassin's Creed in real life.
It's clear.
And of course, I can't forget about awkward silence. Yeah, that's funny. Me personally, I have some procedures in place to avoid awkward silence no matter what. For example, my philosophy is to just say things. Yeah, that's funny. So do you play Minecraft?
What kind of question is that?
In the end, they may think I'm a dumbass, but at least there's no awkward silence, you know what I'm saying?
My first time eating magic mushrooms. Now this story takes place on a spooky Halloween night. And of course, when you're young, Halloween is about dressing up and getting candy from strangers. But as you get older, you grow to realize the true meaning of Halloween is to commit as many devious and malicious crimes in one night as humanly possible. Like when me and my homies first transformed from some young, innocent gentlemen into some unethical and deceitful delinquents, we planned out some criminal activities for our first teenager Halloween. Yo, trick-or-treating is for nerds, where we're gonna drink alcohol and smoke grass.
Whoa. Yeah.
That is so teenager. So you know, we drink their drink and we smoke their grass. Man, I sure could fuck up some Reese's Pieces right now. Not gonna lie, some Skittles would be fire. Alright, fuck it. So we threw on last year's Halloween drip and shamelessly went trick-or-treating baked as fuck. Trick-or-treat. Aren't you guys a little bit old to be trick-or-treating? No, but we got our candy and we went back to Billy's crib and the munchies took over. I mean, we fucked that shit up so fast that we changed costumes and we spun the block. Trick-or-treat. Didn't you guys already come here?
No. There's a snake in my boot.
So all Halloween, me and the gang pretty much just ate chocolate. But by the time next year rolled around, okay, this Halloween is going to be the best Halloween yet. But how can we top last year? Yeah, we already smoked grass and ingested alcohol well underaged. Cause I got these. This dude, Billy, whips out a handful of shrooms. And honestly, Billy didn't even need to convince us, cause me and Bob were trying to have the best Halloween ever. So we split it up, and we all down a sizable amount of magic mushrooms for our first time. And let me tell you, there are many smooth ways to consume some magic mushrooms. One being the pizza technique, as well as the good old PB and Shroom Sammy. However, we had smoked and we had drank before, but magic mushrooms were completely out of our expertise. So we just choked them shits down raw. And it was strange. It tasted like I just ate earth. If earth was dry as fuck and like chewy. But about 20 minutes after eating the shrooms, Billy has a genius idea. Okay, hear me out. We go trick-or-treating, collect some candy real quick, and come back. So when these mushrooms hit, we can be eating good. Okay. Wait, then we need some costumes. Okay, I do have three costumes, but like, just don't ask any questions, okay? Why do you have no questions, bro? Now let's go get this bag of candy. So we're mobbing around the neighborhood in some gangster Teletubby suits. And we roll up to the first house like... Trick or treat. Aw, you guys are so cute. And we were banging out house after house. But after about four houses, I started to notice my Teletubby mitts were looking a little suspicious. But I didn't have time to think about the psychedelics that were potentially invading my brain because I had bigger priorities. Go cop some Halloween candy.
Trick or treat. Trick or treat.
But as we walked up to the 8th house, I was undeniably tripping balls. Cause as I looked up at Bob, I just started uncontrollably laughing my ass off. And Bob Shrooms must have kicked in too, because we were both just hysterically laughing at each other for no reason. But then the door opened and I saw this tall ass bald dude with an unconceivably large smile on his face. I mean, the shrooms made it look like his smile was just unproportionately big, and I just assumed it was a Halloween mask.
Man, I love your Halloween costume.
What costume?
Oh, holy shit. We need to get home ASAP. So we're making our way back home, tripping balls in our Teletubby costumes, and I'm just seeing the stars falling out of the sky. Then out of nowhere, Billy yells, "What the fuck is that?" I'm probably just tripping, but it looks like zombies running towards us at full speed. Oh, yeah. I see it too. Oh shit, we gotta run. So me, Billy, and Bob start booking it back to Billy's house. And I am hauling ass because there is no way I'm getting packed up by some zombies right now. And when I look back, I don't see some zombie costume. No, I see some real ass zombies. Like, bones sticking out, eyeballs look like they haven't blinked in centuries, and that shit just made me run faster. Cause to me, this was a life or death situation. I mean, in reality, it probably just looked like, ah!
360, ooga booga booga!
We get back to Billy's crib. Holy shit, get in.
Lock it.
And we were not taking any chances. I mean, we barricaded every single door in the entire house. And for a second, it was a horrible trip. I mean, I thought I was in the zombie apocalypse. But once we settled down, we were having the time of our lives, chilling and eating candy while tripping balls.
Booga booga!
You know what they say, there's a first for everything, bro. Like your first steps, your first dance moves, your first words. Dada!
Hey, would you look at that? We gotta get some milk. I'll be right back.
Your first stepdad? New dada?
Yeah, nah. I'm ahead of two, actually.
And your first kiss. Man, the things I would do to go back and completely erase that shit from existence. Bro, all these Disney movies I was seeing as a kid had these first kisses turning ugly-ass frogs into some fucking Giga Chat. And shit, like, spoiler alert, fucking ribbon. On top of that, the fact you have to close your eyes, like, bro, imagine you're learning how to golf and you're about to take your first swing and these motherfuckers are like,
yeah, now do it with your eyes closed.
Bruh, this is my first time. What do you expect to happen? Like, honestly, my first kiss is top 5 worst chains moments of all time, and let's just say it's not 5 or 4 Or 3. That shit was really bad, bro. So with that being said, this story takes place in grade 7, which is the year I got my first girlfriend. Now, I told this story a few months back, but I purposely left out the part of my first kiss. Well, gosh, diddly darn, Chains. Why would you do such a preposterous thing? And the truth is, I was planning on taking this shit to the grave with me, bro, but fuck it. Sometimes you just gotta let the world know.
Okay, you're right. I got something to get off my chest.
Epstein? Wait, what? So for the homies who haven't seen the video, one day me, Bob, and Billy were mobbing around our local mall when we seen these 3 girls from our class. So we walk up to them and lay down some of the meanest 12-year-old riz these girls had ever seen. Hey, yo, shorty, I think I just shit my pants. Can I get into yours?
What the fuck?
Oh, shit. My bad. My fault. Hey, yo, shorty, are you a cigarette?
Am I a cigarette? What?
Cause I'm trying to get lit and put your butt in my mouth.
Wait, what?
Nothing.
Please.
Holy shit, bro. Let me guess. You all got restraining orders.
No. Worse.
We got fucking girlfriends. And 12-year-old me had no business dating nobody, bruh. Like, my dumbass could barely even handle playing Fortnite with a girl. Like, oh, hey, GamerGirl97.
Hey.
I'm kind of low. Can I chug on your jugs?
What?
Oh, no, sorry. Whoa, I mean, I just want to slurp on your juice. No, I'm sorry.
Ew.
I mean, like, I need heels. Can I trade you? What do you need?
Oh, yeah. Is there any way you can give me some mats?
Oh, yeah. No, I'd love to give you my wood.
Huh?
Or bricks. Or metal. Or anything you need.
Okay.
Anything else?
Yeah, I don't have a shotgun yet.
Oh, shit. I got three.
Okay.
I can give you two pumps.
Ew.
Or no, it's one pump. No,
wait.
Oh, sorry. I can give you shotguns, I mean.
Okay.
Where are you?
I'm in this little wood fort I made.
Oh, okay. I see you. Let me come in your box.
What?
So, needless to say, every single interaction I had with my girlfriend was awkward as shit. Because I had to pre-plan things to say in my head. And as soon as that shit went off script... I was cooked.
Hey, Jessica, how you doing today?
Honestly, just not the best.
Oh, that's good. What'd you do today?
Oh, I don't know. Just did my makeup.
Hey, me too.
You did your makeup?
Yeah, we have so much in common. Have a nice day.
Fuck!
And on one Friday after school, me, Bob, Billy, and our girlfriends all went to the mall together, as we did every single day. But on this specific Friday, we rubbed together a few brain cells and realized, yo, do you got money?
Nah.
You got money?
Zero.
You got money?
I'm broke.
You got money?
No.
You got money? Yo. Why are we at the mall?
I don't know.
That's a good thought about it.
I mean, we could all go to my house.
Oh, yeah. What are you doing? And so, of course, as the good kid I was, I text my mom to ask her to go. Greetings, mother. I would like to know if it's in the realm of possibility that you'd be so kind to grant me your permission to visit the household of my dearest acquaintance, Nikki. Looking forward to hearing from you. Your favorite son, Change. And I immediately get a call.
Let me speak to her parents.
Now, I, Change for real, have never dated a 12-year-old boy in my life, and I honestly don't plan on it. But even in grade 7, I could use my logic and reasoning skills to understand if your boyfriend had to get his mom to talk to your friend's mom for permission to slide to the crib. Instant ick, bro. There's just no way. She'd probably break up with me on the spot. So I'm doing anything I can to not let that happen.
Hey there, Miss For Real. This is Nikki's mom. I just wanted to let you know Change and his friends are welcome over anytime because they're... because they're goated with the sauce.
Shit.
Oh, hey, Nikki's mom. Sorry, it's kind of hard to hear you over all this bullshit. You're not allowed at her house. Come home now.
James, are you coming?
Look, Mom, I'm not gonna lie. You gotta lock the fuck in right now. This is the first time in my life I ever been invited to a girl's house and there's cheeks up for grabs. Like, Mom, this is my only opportunity. If you don't let me go, the For Real bloodline might just end with me. Okay, listen, Chains. I'll let you go this time, but you have to be home at 9 p.m. sharp.
Yay, thank you so much, Mom.
Now, I'm paraphrasing, but the point is she let me go with a curfew of 9 p.m. So all six of us leave the mall, hop on the bus, and get off at Nikki's house. We go inside, sit on the couch, and now... It's even more awkward, bro, because instead of walking around the mall, all we had to entertain ourselves was ourselves. And just like any other awkward middle school scenario, that shit went like...
Truth or dare?
Yeah,
that's exactly
down.
What I was thinking.
And my heart instantly dropped, bro. Because I knew if I picked dare, I would have to kiss Jessica and shit, bro. That's a whole lot scarier than playing Fortnite with GamerGirl97. But regardless, Nikki starts the game of truth or dare.
Hey, Billy, truth or dare?
Yo, truth.
What's your favorite color?
Blue.
Oh, what? This shit's not even bad.
Okay, then Chains, truth or dare?
Truth.
No. What do you mean, no? It's truth or dare?
I said truth or dare.
Dare.
What the fuck? Okay, fine, dare.
You have to kiss Jessica. Bro, this time it wasn't a pickup line. When I say I just shit my pants. I mean, not literally, but metaphorically, I was shitting bricks, bro. And when I turned to Jessica, she's just sitting there straight-faced as fuck.
So, Jessica, are you down? like hypothetically speaking, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going in.
Sorry. Let me just, hello? Sorry.
I'm not gonna lie, this is fucking weird. You guys are just watching and shit, like, I don't know, it's just kinda-
Oh, so if we weren't watching you do it?
I mean, yeah, I would actually- Wait, what the fuck?
Every single one of these motherfuckers ran to the corner and started staring at the wall, like-
Did you do it yet?
We're not looking till you do it.
Yo, hurry up, dumbass.
So now I got all this pressure on me to do this shit, but Jessica's out here looking at me like-
Hey, how was your day?
Yo, shut the fuck
just up. Just kiss her already.
What are you yapping about?
And I deadass didn't know how to go about it. I ended up sitting on this couch nervous as hell, awkward as hell, looking stupid as fuck for 20 minutes, bruh.
Now, 20 minutes in general doesn't sound that long, but imagine sitting on a couch in complete silence with everyone just... Bro, just watch this.
My brother in Christ.
That was 10 seconds, bruh. Imagine doing that times 120. So after the second longest 20 minutes of my life, I say, you know what? Fuck it. And Nikki's mom walks in the room.
Hey, who wants snacks? Oh.
And at this point, I checked my shitty-ass Samsung Galaxy 3, and it was already 8:50 p.m. And with a curfew of 9, I had no choice but to log in. So I lick my lips, close my eyes, and real quick, I smash our mouths together. And when I turn around, not a single motherfucker is facing the wall. I look the other way, and Nikki's mom is peeking around the corner with her fucking mac and cheese and shit. So I made like my pops, and I was out that hoe.
Pleasure doing business, Jessica.
Wait, what? Where are you going?
Thanks for having me, Nikki's mom.
What the hell was that?
And I proceeded to sprint home, making it home at 8:59, exactly 1 minute before my curfew. And that night, when I went to bed,
I couldn't sleep, bro. I haven't been able to sleep since. Damn, I should have taken this shit to the grave with me. Fuck.
Getting too high and ordering Chinese food 3 times because you keep forgetting you ordered it is one thing. But being too high in public is just one situation you don't want to be in. Like when you're too high in public, it feels like there's always a spotlight on you. And that all these random people you walk by are staring you down. But whatever you do, you can't make eye contact with anyone. Or else that person will snatch your soul. If anyone else gets paranoid when they get high, then I know you can relate. I'll be out here fighting demons trying to walk to the gas station like, okay, relax. You're gonna be okay. The gas station is right there. Holy shit, it's the cops. They're after me. Man, something in that gas smokes away all your logic and reasoning. Like, it'll have me jumping from conclusion to conclusion like I'm playing Mario. Did that girl just look at me? Shit. She must think I'm sexy. Wait, no. She knows I'm high. Holy shit, she's probably an undercover FBI agent. She's getting back up as I speak. I gotta get the fuck out of here. And sometimes when you're smacked in a public setting, you're just forced to talk to people. Don't make eye contact. Don't make eye contact.
Hey man, do you know where the Walmart is around here?
Wait, fuck. What did he say? He probably just asked how I was doing. Oh, I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, but do you know where the Walmart is?
Oh, yep. Yeah, I'm good. Thanks for asking. Phew, good thing I played that one off. Or I mean, you could always just take the good old safe route.
Hey man, do you know where the Walmart?
When you get way too baked in public, you also feel super self-conscious about everything. Am I walking weird? How do I even normally walk? Why am I walking like I just shit my pants? Okay, this feels pretty normal. Wait, am I even breathing right? Fuck, now I just turned on manual breathing. Roaming the streets while baked, you'll come across lots of people. But there's just some unspoken connection between two high people. Like, no words have to be said. You see that his eyes are red, and he sees that your eyes are red. You dap each other up out of respect, and you keep it pushing. Now, when you're baked as hell in public, but you're with a group of people who are just as baked as you, it's a lot easier to relax. Because the simple thought that these people look just as stupid as I do. And honestly, at that point, you can just embrace it. Because you're no longer baked, alone, and afraid anymore. Now you can speak your truth. Hey man, do you know where the wall- Hey bro, I'ma stop you right there. I am fucking baked, and therefore I cannot help you locate anything you may be looking for. And listen, being baked and Mickey D's go hand in hand. The problem is, you have to actually talk to the McDonald's guy to get your food. Like, when I'm baked, I just don't have the brain capacity to communicate what I'm thinking. Shit, I'm probably gonna get a Big Mac. Hi there, what can I get for you? Do you guys have burgers? No shit, we got burgers. Yeah, then let me get the burger. You know, like with the things, the you know what I'm saying? Like yeah. Damn, you are fucking stupid, bro. And we already know being zooted at school can either be a rather delightful experience, or it could be completely and utterly terrible. Once again, if you tend to get paranoid when you're high, being at school has to be one of the worst places to be. You'll be out here ducking and dodging the teachers, absolutely shitting the bed on all your tests, and it's just overall gonna be a stressful ass experience. But on the other hand, if you get much more relaxed when you're high, then you get a nice little mood boost. You walk around with your head up and that baked grin on your face. Shit, this was never me, but I know some motherfuckers magically get a better mark on their tests when they're faded. Overall, you're just kinda living life stress-free. I mean, these two experiences are pretty much complete opposites. So I'm not trying to say being baked in public is always gonna be a bad experience, but for me, I'd much rather accidentally place 3 orders of Chinese food from the comfort of my own home.
Honestly, bro, I'm not scared of much. I'd go skydiving, I'd swim with the sharks, run with the lions, fight a gorilla, beat some ass, and I'd even get my ass eaten.
No, I would not. What the fuck?
Wait, no. I mean, I'd even get my ass beaten, bro. But if there's one thing that leaves me scared shitless, it's a... But one day when I was 15 years old, my friends and I went to the gas station to get nothing more than a pack of Reese's.
Alright, your total will be $2.50.
Hey boy, step back.
I got this. Put it on my car, bro.
Oh, okay. Alright. I don't think
your machine's working, bro.
Hey kid, I hate to break the news to you, you know what I'm saying? But, I think your broke ass needs to get a job.
No!
So I got my first job at Jim Jordan's, and I was grinding, bro. I made every coffee fresh, every customer happy, every toilet squeaky clean. I was putting the potato wedges in the goddamn bag until...
I'd stacked up my first few bands, and I'd never seen this much money in my life. I thought I was rich, bro. So I quit my job. And then the government took some bands, I bought a few Fortnite skins, one ugly ass t-shirt, and before I knew it, I ended up exactly where I started.
Damn, dude, you fucking suck.
Your broke ass still needs to get a job, bro.
Man. Firstly, my name is Chains, and I would love to work here at this summer camp.
All right, Chains, do you know how to read?
Yes, sir.
Do you speak English?
I do.
Can you count to 10?
Indeed.
Can you ride a bike?
Of course.
Do you like little kids?
No. Final answer, no.
Alright, you're fired.
Wait, no, I love little kids.
Alright, you're hired. Now take this helmet and teach those kids how to ride some goddamn bikes.
Okay, yeah, thank you. Really quick, how much do I get paid?
As little as legally possible. Now get to work, buddy.
Alright. My boss threw my ass straight into the deep end, bruh. No training, no nothing. Now what's crazy is every other worker went to a training camp and was taught exactly what to do and exactly what to say. But one of those dudes quit last minute. They needed somebody, anybody to fill in, and that's the only reason they hired your boy. Anyways, I grab a bike, go outside, and there I see my group of 5 little 5-year-olds waiting for me. And I can see the hopes and dreams of learning to ride a bike glistening in each and every one of their little eyes. And I didn't want to let these little motherfuckers down, so I wasted no time and got straight to work.
Alright, listen, it's simple. You get on your bike and you just start pedaling. Like, look at me go. Right, guys?
Shit. Listen, teaching one kid to ride a bike is legwork. You grab the seat, you push them, they pedal, they fall, and you pick them up and start gaslighting their ass like,
wow, buddy, you did an amazing job. I've never seen somebody sweep the floor with their face before, man. Next time you can use your hands, though.
Thank you.
But the real problem is having 5 different kids with 5 different personalities and skill levels.
Because the first kid was named Miles.
but he couldn't ride a bike for 5 feet. Then we had a kid named Noah, who didn't know a single thing about how to brake. Parker, who couldn't park for shit. We even had a kid named Noel, but his little ass couldn't stop taking L's. In James. But it was just one motherfucker, bro. Like, why is your name plural, bro? Where's the other one at?
So my group's out here looking like 5 chimpanzees on bikes with one bigger chimpanzee supervising them. And I look over at my coworkers' groups, and these motherfuckers are out here biking in perfect unison, weaving through cones. I even seen a little kid doing no hands, bro.
Hey, James, look, no hands.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit. Oh, shit.
Hey, James, look, no teeth.
So after painting the pavement like Picasso, we get under the shade for some lunch break. And talking with these kids was such an interesting experience, bro. Because since I was their biking instructor, they just assumed I knew everything, bro.
Hey, James, why is the sky blue?
Shit, I mean, it just
And we even decided that it'd be a Monday today.
Oh, that was definitely Abraham Lincoln.
Why does my sandwich taste like pennies?
That's the taste of blood, my
and
boy.
And what's the biggest number?
Infinity.
How old are you? 300. What time is it?
12:37.
And why do my parents wrestle without any clothes on?
Yeah, mine too.
So, okay, yeah, time to get back to riding bikes, bro. But this time when we got back out to riding bikes, I set up a cone drill. All right, group, lock in. Here we got an easy cone drill. You know what I'm saying? I'll show you how it's done. So you just want to go through the cones just like this. You know what I'm saying? I like to call this drill. Oh, fuck.
Wait, what's it called?
I don't know. I think it's called fuck.
Are you sure?
Fuck.
Yeah, nah, it's definitely called fuck.
Well, that's a weird name.
Okay, who's gonna fuck next?
Yeah, bro. I'm not gonna lie, I deadass fell. Like, there was no type of biking test in order to get the job. All they asked is if I could ride a bike, and I can. But I did not know we'd be doing NFL drills on these fucking bikes. But needless to say, when the parents came to pick their kids up from the first day of bike camp, they were not impressed.
Hey, there's my little man. What did we learn today?
Oh, you know, we just took the training wheels off. We got started on a few cone drills.
He showed us how to fuck.
Yeah, okay, man. No, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. This is a catastrophic miscommunication.
And James told me I had the best grip.
Hey, yo, I'm the handlebars, brother. You gotta specify.
James says I have so much potential for a kid my age.
Okay, yeah, that sounds bad. That sounds really bad. Why does all this shit sound so bad?
He likes me better without any teeth.
I'm just trying to cheer him up, man.
He taught us to always use protection before riding.
Okay, that's enough.
He just stopped.
None of them came back, bro.
So I got a new group, and the best part about this new group of kids is that they were already level 4.
Meaning we'd all just bike to the park, eat lunch, and then bike back.
Damn, bro, that sounds easy as fuck.
Surely this couldn't go any worse than your first group, right?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, nah, it gets worse. It gets so much worse. So for this little journey to the park, I'll pair up with my coworker Natalie. So Natalie's in the front and we got 10 kids in the middle. We'll call them Liam, Ava, Milo, Zoe, Tucker, Cornelius, Jackson, Bradley, Quandale Dingle Jr. the third, and Riley, which is the only name you'll need to remember. So I count up the kids so we don't leave any behind, and as expected, I count 10. So we take off on our journey to the park, and all these kids were really good at riding, you know. Out of the whole group, we only had one little fall. But I just scraped my knee, you know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't even cry or anything, bro. It wasn't even that bad. And before I knew it, we made it to the park. We all put our bikes down. Natalie and I ate our lunch while the 10 kids ran around and played. Liam and Tucker were playing tag. Zoe and Ava were picking flowers. Meatloaf and Quandale were eating cockroaches. Riley and Cornelius were in the bushes picking berries. And Jackson and Bradley were wrestling. And after a peaceful 45 minutes passed by, Natalie and I round everyone up to get back in line like we started. I count them up so we don't forget anyone. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And we head back to camp. And after a very successful trip, the parents pick their children up one by one until Riley's very sweet mom shows up with a pack of 20 Jimbits to thank me for my great work taking care of her child.
Hey there, I just wanted to say I appreciate you so much for taking care of Riley today.
Yo, what? Thank you so much. You really didn't have to.
No, it's my pleasure, truly.
Oh, okay, well, thank you so much.
So, where's my little guy?
Oh, he's right here. My heart drops straight to my stomach, bro. And as I'm looking around for Riley, I'm trying to recall the ride home, and I genuinely just don't remember seeing Riley at all. And that's when I remember I last saw Riley playing in the bushes. And this is when my heart goes back from my stomach and drops down to my testicles, bruh. To this day, my heart has never dropped so hard. This woman trusted me with her son, and I don't know where the fuck he is.
So, where is he?
Man, that right there is a great question.
What do you mean that's a great question?
You know, all the greatest questions in the world make you think, don't they?
Yes.
Right, and as you ask me this question, I really get to thinking, you know, like, I really get to rack in my brain, and well, to be quite frank, well, I'm stumped.
Okay.
Okay, what do you mean you're stumped?
I don't know where Riley is.
What do you mean you don't know where Riley is?
Okay, yeah, let's just put it like this. Do you know where Riley is?
No.
Yeah, not me either.
Mom, can we get ice cream?
Holy fuck, he's right there. Oh my god, fuck, I knew it. I thought this dumbass lost you. I knew it the whole time. He's right there. It's April Fool's.
Give me these.
Yeah, take them. Oh my God, Jesus, God bless America.
And that was genuinely the day I realized
I can't work a fucking job. I'm not built for that shit, bro. I gotta start a Stickman YouTube channel or some shit.
All right, next up we got Billy presenting his baking soda volcano experiment.
Hey guys, how we doing? Alright, so, you see if I put a solid amount of baking soda in here and then, a little bit of vinegar here. it's supposed to explode.
Oh, fuck!
Quickly, organize a single file line in alphabetical order.
Hey, I'm first.
No, you're not, bro, I'm first.
Your last name is literally Johnson.
I have two last names.
Listen, bro, I'm not saying we shouldn't have school drills and all, but what I am saying is the school drills we do have are straight bullshit. Like, if there was a fire in my class, I'm jumping straight out the window, the fuck? There is no way you'll catch me waiting for Alexander and Arnold to debate who's first in line while I'm out here getting sautéed. And shit, fire drills aren't even close to being the worst of the drills, cause we got lockdown drills. Now, I don't know who planned out these drills, but goddamn, these drills are ass. Now, if you never had lockdown drills, they're pretty much a foolproof plan set in place to completely counter anyone pulling up to school with a strap. You see, the plan is pretty simple. You lock the door, gather all the students into the corner of the class, and you turn the lights out. And the reason we turn the lights out is so we can politely tell the intruder that nobody's home. Now, if every classroom followed these steps perfectly, we might even be able to convince the dude that it's a pro D-Day or something. Now listen, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, I really do, but there's one minor flaw in this plan. The shooter's in the class, bruh. You're out here telling the opposition your exact game plan, then you're surprised when bro pulls up to the hiding spot? Like shit, it's just easy pickings at this point. Now, earthquake drills, man. The game plan here is to essentially hop under your desk and start counting. Now, when I was in kindergarten, I thought this whole earthquake drill thing was a fun game we played to learn how to count. But 12 years later, we were still counting. Like, let's be honest. What the fuck is counting gonna do? Are you telling the earthquake how long it has to dismantle the school? Cause I'm pretty sure it doesn't give a shit how long it takes. Me personally, I feel like the best way to see if an earthquake is over is by observing whether or not the entire fucking building is shaking. But listen, I will say this. Out of all the drills, the earthquake drill is pretty valid. Like, whoever thought of this one was kinda cooking. I mean, these desks are pretty much made out of steel, bro. Like, out of all my years, I've never seen one break before. So it probably provides some solid protection. But shit, me personally, I'm still jumping through the fucking window, bruh. I don't care how many times I practice crouching under my desk. If I ever felt the slightest shake in the ground, I'm out of that hole. So if you carry the 674 to the power of 2 over to the 47, you will find-
Oh shit!
Well, why did Change just dive out of the window?
Shit, I don't know.
Now I'ma keep it a stack. I've never done a single tornado drill in my life. So after doing some quick research, it looks like you just, you do this. Now I don't know shit about tornadoes, but what I do know is that I'm not gonna be doing this shit. Like, I'm no scientist, but I don't think the doggy position is gonna stop the tornado from packing you up. So to be honest, once again, I'm jumping out the fucking window, bro. Like, that's just my default reaction. And if that tornado ends up putting me on a t-shirt, then so be it. At least the last position I was in before I died was not the face down, cheeks up pose. But bro, imagine being the kid who poorly timed his piss and now the fire alarm's going off midstream. And you don't even get to know if it's a drill or not. Then there's the whole do you wash your hands dilemma, right? Cause you don't wanna get trapped in the fire and fucking die, but on the other hand,
You don't want to just not wash your hands. Because if it's a drill, then you're just left with dirty ass hands. And while you're trying to decide whether to wash your hands or not, the class is outside taking attendance like...
Rosalina.
Here.
Jared.
Here.
Chains. Chains? Oh, fuck. Where did Chains go?
I don't know, bruh.
Shit.
Oh, no. I was just in the bathroom.
Woo. Oh, you scared me there for a second. Wait, did you wash your hands?
No. I was in a little bit of a rush.
Get back in there and wash your hands, buddy.
Now, the thing about school drills is they happen pretty often. I mean, every few weeks they throw in a fire drill here and a little earthquake drill there. So when the fire bell actually goes off, motherfuckers just assume it's a drill. They're out here horsing around, making jokes and shit, while the school's actually getting fucking cremated. But after almost all the drills are alphabetical, single file line goes out to the front of the school and on the field with every other class. And the amount of buffoonery that goes down on this field is insane, bro. I mean, everyone walks in with a single file line, but after 5 minutes, that shit looks like a Travis Scott concert, bro. Like, I remember one time my high school got a bomb threat called in, so every class assembled the good old alphabetical line, and we went out onto the field. And we were out there for a minute, bro. I remember looking around, and these motherfuckers were running the world's biggest game of Duck Duck Goose, like there wasn't a whole ass bomb threat called into our school. That same day, one kid brought a football to the field, and all of a sudden, motherfuckers are running a pickup game while we're waiting to see if our school is gonna explode or not. And of course the teachers tried to stop it, but these kids just used it as a diversion play and got another touchdown. Alright, so now that we thoroughly dissected each and every school drill, it's only fair we hit them with a tier list. So let's see what we got here. We're starting with lockdown drills. What are we saying? Fucking F tier. Holy shit, they are ass. Alright, next up we got fire drills. Now these drills do get the job done, but I'm not gonna lie. I'm not fucking with this whole single file alphabetical bullshit. So I'm gonna have to give this John a C tier. Now tornado drills. You gotta go in the doggy position. Bro, I got no choice but to give this a D tier. And last but not least, my personal favorite, earthquake drills. They're still kind of ass, B tier. And bro, I know some of y'all may be thinking, you can't just talk shit about the school drills and not present any better solution. Well, lucky for you, I have devised the best and only way to fully counter any natural or artificial disasters. It's simple. For a guy like me who's 7 feet, 325 pounds, 0.5% body fat, and a 7 foot wingspan, I just simply remove myself from the situation. However, I do understand that I am built different, so for your average Joe, I have devised another plan. It's also simple. The moment some shit goes down, everyone runs at full speed out of the building. And of course, some would argue that not everyone is gonna be able to make it out of the building in time, and that some people are faster and stronger than others, and you know what that's called? Natural selection. You see, if I was principal, instead of running students through these impractical drills, I would be running students through a different kind of drills. I would have my students in peak physical condition. Instead of a fire bell, I would have a push-up bell. At any given time, if that shit goes off, you drop down and give me 50, or your ass is getting expelled. You see, this way, when there's a fire, everyone can simply remove themselves from the situation. Or in other circumstances, they can simply intervene. There's levels to friendships. I mean, you could have known your homie since you were 2 years old. You could have lived together. I mean, you could have survived the whole zombie apocalypse together. But shit, the truth is, you haven't truly experienced brotherhood until you and your homie have participated in a two-man mission. Like, just look at Kobe and Shaq, man. That type of chemistry can only be achieved by running a two-man. Shit, I bet these motherfuckers were running two-mans every night. And you already know Kobe was laying down that Mamba mentality while Shaq had his girl O'Neilin'. But for those of you who may be wondering, Chains, what the hell is a two-man mission? Well, I'm glad you asked. It's quite simple, really. It's when you're gonna link with a girl, but you bring your homie and she brings her homie. And what this does is it sets an environment when you and your homie
homie can dribble, pass, alley-oop, and ideally dunk that shit. Now don't get me wrong, it's simple, but not easy. I remember my first two-man mission like it was yesterday. It took place when I was in grade 7. And it started when my friend Joe hit me up like,
yo, bro, I'm going to this girl Sophie's house and her friend Ava's there. You trying to pull up?
And I was like, am I trying to pull up? Hell yeah, I'm trying to pull up. So we show up to her house and I'm new to this whole thing. So I'm sitting there like,
What now?
We could watch a scary movie. Yeah, let's do it.
Calm down.
Personally, I'm not a big fan of scary movies.
Man, shut the fuck.
So we're watching this scary movie, and to be honest with you, it was simply the best scary movie I'd ever seen in my entire life. So I was really getting invested in this plot. And Ava's like, oh my god, I'm scared. And that shit went way over my head.
What? Why?
It's not even at the scary part yet. And then only 30 minutes into the movie, Joe and Sophie are like,
yo, we'll be right back.
Oh, okay. Do you guys want me to pause the movie?
Nah, it's all good, bro.
And you see, what Joe just did right there was a calculated move. In basketball terms, he just said an ISO. So now it was two 1v1s. And the situation was absolutely perfect, but the problem was, I actually liked the fucking movie. And that violates rule number 3 in section 7 of how to pull off a successful two-man. Never give a fuck about the movie. Cause the truth is, the movie length is like the shot clock. If you end up actually watching the entire movie, you failed the mission. But I had no clue, and to be honest, I didn't even know what a two-man was at the time. So I got some popcorn and I was just watching the movie. But when the climax of the movie was about to come around, I did something that violated every term and agreement of the two-man mission. I went over to Joe and Sophie like, Hey guys, quick, you're gonna miss the best part. Oh, fuck. And I missed the climax of the movie, but shit, I seen a climax. And needless to say, Joe never invited me to a two-man mission since. But you know I had to redeem myself, even if it was 3 years later when I was in grade 10. It was a Saturday night, and me and Bob were looking for something to do. And I'm gonna keep it a stack with you, bro. I had no motion. Like, my Snapchat was drier than a Popeye's biscuit, bro. But lucky for me, Bob had a roster. And I'm talking an all-star lineup of girls who just want Bob on their body. And I don't blame them. I mean, shit, I got Bob on my body right now. And you can too at chainsclub.shop. That's right, we got hoodies, shirts, beanies, socks, keychains, stickers, you name it. And starting at the price of $4.20, Bob can be all yours. Or if you want me, I wouldn't mind being on your keychain or something.
Treat me like white tea.
So as I was saying, me and Bob were bored. So Bob hits up this girl named Avery like, what are you doing right now? And she's like, just chilling. Who you with? My friend Alice. Let's link. I'm with my homie. Okay, is he cute? Cute as hell. Okay, come over. And I'm excited as fuck, so we get Bob's sister to drive us to Avery's crib, and as we pull up to her house, I remember a crucial detail that I'd been forgetting this whole time. I was scared of the hoes, bruh. And as we walked up to her door, I was starting to get flashbacks of me and Joe's two man, where Joe tossed up an alley-oop for both of us, and I blocked his shot, metaphorically and literally. And as I'm psyching myself up, Bob calls Avery to tell her we're here, and she's like, so, my parents are asleep, so you're gonna have to come in through my window. Shit. So we walk around the side of the house to Avery's room, and lucky for us, there's this big-ass window, and I'm like, yo, can you open it so we can get in? And she's like, it is open. Bro, only this tiny ass rectangle in the top left was open at a 60 degree angle. But that was our only way in, so I helped Bob up and through the window. But now I gotta get up there, and I'm bigger than Bob, so I put my head through and I'm trying to slowly creep into the room, and then I lean just a little too far and I'm headed face first onto Alice's hardwood floor. And listen, Bob has come in clutch many times. He saved me from drowning, coyotes, getting in trouble, but out of all these things, I'm most grateful for Bob catching me as I fell through this fucking window. Because drowning and dying would have been pretty bad, like boohoo, rip chains, you know what I'm saying? But imagine falling through a window and eating shit face first in front of the hoes. Like, I would have preferred the drowning, bro. But after that close call, I was a little flabbergasted, you know what I'm saying? But Alice has the audacity to ask me this loaded ass question, like, oh hey, what's your name?
Me?
Yeah, you.
The name's for real.
Chains for real.
Nice to meet you, Mr. Frill. I'm Alice. And so we all just started talking and shit, but I keep noticing Alice was getting a bunch of text messages. And I remember thinking it was probably her mom or something, so I shrugged that shit off and I'm like, yo, we should watch a movie.
Yeah, oh we should. God. Yeah.
And I wasn't about to make the same mistake I made last time. So I found the most dog shit horror movie on the face of Netflix and threw that shit on. And man, that shit was ass. In fact, it was so ass that we just started cuddling and shit. Like, what else was there to do? But now that we were close, I could feel the vibrations of Alice's phone getting a call, so she's like, one second, I'll be right back. And I wasn't trying to eavesdrop, but I could low-key hear what she was saying through the door.
I'm just at Avery's house. We're watching a movie. Oh my god, okay, that's fine. Okay.
But when she comes back, she puts a pillow between us. Like the same type of shit two dudes do to make sure they don't fuck in their sleep. And I'm trying to piece everything together, and as I'm coming to the conclusion that this girl has a boyfriend, I hear footsteps coming towards the door. And when the door opens, I'm fucking bamboozled to see a 60-year-old man who looks furious. And I'm just hoping this isn't Alice's boyfriend, because if it is, we got bigger problems on our hands. But as I seen the way this man looked at Bob, I realized he's Avery's dad. And Bob wasted no time jumping out that fucking window. But for me, let's just say that shit wasn't very elegant, because I got stuck for what felt like 5 minutes making eye contact with this grown-ass man.
Well, what are you trying to seduce, my dad or something? Like, get the fuck out.
And I'm not gonna lie, we ran, bro. And once we made it home, me and Bob were relieved. But when I go to check my phone, I got a little notification on Snapchat. And I'm expecting it to be Alice or maybe even Team Snapchat or something, I don't know. But I sure as hell wasn't expecting it to be a motherfucker named Ryan Donaldson. And Ryan must have woke up on the wrong side of the bed this morning, because he's like, what the fuck did you do, dude? So I hit him back with a, who dis? And he's like, Ryan Donaldson. Yeah, no, I can see your username, bruh, but I have no clue who you are. I'm Alice's boyfriend, bitch. And Ryan got his shit hit with an instant block, bro. And so the moral of the story is, if you're gonna...
Every single person will have a different experience when they get high. And even the same person can have different experiences each time. It can depend on many things, like the strain of the grass, the environment you're in, and overall the type of person you are. But with that being said, I do know some of the most common types of people when they're high. Starting with Paranoid Peter. Paranoid Peter will take a few hits and his brain will go on overdrive, imagining the worst scenario he could possibly be in. And he'll just slowly convince himself that it's real.
Hey, how you doing?
Shit, he knows I'm high. He probably knows that I jaywalked last week too. Fuck, I'm going to jail for life.
Buddy, are you okay?
Fine, I'm high as hell and I illegally crossed the road last week. Next up, we got Mary with the munchies. Mary will get zooted and go ham on all the food in the vicinity. She'll have DoorDash, Skip the Dishes, Uber Eats knocking on her door like they're the IRS or something. But I'm not gonna lie, I know we've all been there. No, not with the IRS, I'm talking about the munchies. Because food when you're high simply hits different. You go from just chewing, swallowing, and digesting your food to dissecting and distinguishing each particular particle of that food. And I don't know why, but your brain never tells you if you're full. So you can just eat food infinitely. Next, we got Chill Charlie. Chill Charlie is just so laid back. Once this dude takes a puff, he is just nonchalant. And nothing in the world can make this man start chalanting.
Charlie, they found the kids in our basement.
Chill out, dude. It's all gonna be alright.
Hey, hands behind your back.
Yo, calm down. Why are you so aggressive? And of course, we got Sleepy Sam. You see, Sleepy Sam has had a long day at work. He decides what would be a better way to end the day than to light up some Bubba Kush. We can't forget about George with the giggles, man. George just be laughing at anything when he's high. And it's the best when you get two high Georges in a room. You could hit George with some devastating news, and there's nothing he can do but laugh. George, I'm so sorry, man. I just crashed your new Bugatti. Honestly, at this point, literally anything can make him laugh. Okay, maybe not anything. Next up, we got Mumbling Martin. Some motherfuckers just be smoking and start to think they're Cardi or something. Like, after a few hits, they start to invent a whole new language.
Dance like dick can't be hit, man.
Wait, what?
I said dick can't be hit, man.
Can you just speak up a little bit?
You can't hold me, you can't tell me, speak up.
And man, we all know a Coffin Carl. Yeah, bro, can you pass me that grass?
God damn, God bless America.
We got Sober Sophia. Yo, Sophia, take a hit.
No.
And what about Immobilized Eric? I don't know if any of y'all have experienced this before, but sometimes Eric be smoking a little too much, and it's like his controller just disconnects. Like, wherever he smokes, he will be there in the same position for the whole night. Yo, bro, we're going home. Ain't no way Eric is still here, bruh. There has to be some sort of brain muscle disconnect when he smokes. Because you could 360 roundhouse this motherfucker and he would still be chilling in the same spot he smoked. That is, until the effect just wears off. And we got Philosopher Phil. Listen, I don't know what Phil smokes, but whatever it is, it seems to rewire his brain and turn him into a modern Aristotle. If a time machine is ever made in the future, then it has always existed. Yeah, bro, I never thought about it like that. How can you prove to me that you even exist? I don't know, I just... Was math discovered? Or was it created? Created... Wait. No, discovered... Are we a body with a mind, or just a mind with a body? Hey, bro, I'm way too high for this shit.
As a broke stick man like myself, I spent my fair share of time on the bus. And if you spend a long enough time on the bus, you will see some weird ass shit. I mean, I remember my first time getting on the bus by myself. I was feeling strong and independent. Next thing I know, a crackhead sits down beside me talking about,
"Yabba dabba doo. The world is ending and you're gonna die a painful and lonely death, buddy."
And just like that, I went from strong and independent to shitting my pants. Yeah, bro, the bus is just something else. Like, 1 in 10 people who enter the bus are straight gremlins, bro. I'm talking about the gremlins who know the perk is fake, but they still pop it. Now you just gotta sit next to this motherfucker for another 30 minutes while he tells you about the kids in his basement. But to be fair, these gremlins aren't even the worst part of the bus. The worst part of the bus is the energy. You walk in there and everyone just stops and looks at you like they're sizing you up or some shit. And you know who sizes you up the most? The fucking goddamn motherfucking bus driver, bro. These bus drivers are just eternally pissed off. Every time I would get off the bus, I would try and cheer bro up, but they're just like allergic to happiness or some shit. Hey, thank you. Have a great day, man.
Shut your ugly ass up, little boy. I already know you get no bitches with your big ass forehead, no drip having ass with your skinny ass arms. Boy, you're built like a stick man, bruh.
Damn. Hey, bro, there could really only be two reasons why these bus drivers are so mad all the time. Either they had a demon villain origin story where they were abandoned as a child and never shown any form of love until one day. In freshman year of high school, Timmy met Linda. Linda was kind, smart, beautiful, and she paid attention to Timmy when nobody else would. Timmy asked Linda to be his girlfriend, and she said yes. They dated all throughout high school, and they even got into the same university so they could be together forever.
Until one day, when Timmy's world was flipped upside down. Timmy found out Tyrone had been laying some mean pipe on Linda this entire time. Everyone in Timmy's school made fun of him. Timmy could not let this slide. So he called out Tyrone to run the ones in front of the entire school. And without a single word, Tyrone winds up and hits Timmy with the meanest left hook any stick man had ever seen, leaving Timmy slept, out cold, unconscious, in front of his classmates, his teachers, and even in front of Linda. 'Cause shit, if that happened to me, I'd be just as mad as Timmy over here. Now, realistically, the only other reason these drivers are so constantly mad would be because the driver's seat secretly has a stick built in. You see, this would explain why the driver constantly has a stick up his ass. I mean, shit, you really can't even blame him for being mad. But still, I'm gonna blame him. 'Cause I know these motherfuckers get pleasure whenever they see me running at full speed trying to make it to the bus stop in time. 'Cause they start stepping on the gas.
Dumbass.
To be honest, there's nothing that leaves you more defeated than when you're sprinting to a bus stop. Then that shit just cruises on by and everyone on the bus is laughing at you. Damn. Honestly, at that point, I just give up and go home. But it hits a little bit different when that bus is your only way home. And it was the last bus. 'Cause it's 2 a.m. And now you gotta bunk up with the gremlins on the side of the street. All because that goddamn bus driver had a stick up his ass. Yo, Chains, I'll pay you $5 if you pull that fire alarm right there.
Oh.
Yo, run.
Chains. Do you know why I've called you into my office today?
No.
You see, that little stunt you pulled has led you to a 1-week suspension.
God damn it. What does suspension mean?
It means for the next week you are prohibited from coming to school.
Fuck. What does prohibited mean?
Chains, you can't come to school for the next week.
Hold up, so you're telling me because I pulled the fire alarm, I don't have to go to school for a week?
Yes, it's a suspension. You are...
Man, I got a love-hate relationship when it comes to getting suspended from school. Like, on one hand, shit, you just don't have to go to school. But on the other hand...
Suspended? Oh, I'm about to suspend that ass. Ah, fuck. Ow. Shit.
Alright, I don't recommend getting suspended. That shit is not worth it. But how do I know? This story dates way, way, way back. Back to grade 7. It was a cold winter day at Stickman Middle School. In fact, it was freezing cold, and this gave Billy a great idea. Yo, the pond behind the school is frozen. Let's go fuck around on it. Oh, I'm down.
Okay, bet.
So after school, we got a group of 5 homies, and we headed over to the frozen pond. Now, to paint the picture, behind Stickman Middle School was Stickman Elementary School, and behind Stickman Elementary School was this frozen pond, meaning we had to walk through Stickman Elementary School to get to this pond. But nonetheless, we walk up to the pond and instantly I see this big red sign that says, "Hazard, do not step on ice." Guys, the sign says do not step on ice.
Man, what the sign? Watch this.
Oh shit, look, it's sturdy as fuck.
Yo, fuck.
And even though Billy's dumbass fell in, the ice was actually pretty sturdy. So you know, we're gliding around, eating shit, hitting the meanest ballerina spins you've ever seen, and eating shit. And we were having some good old harmless fun. In fact, our grade 7 selves were having the time of our lives on this frozen water. That is until... Oh, what do you guys think you're doing?
We were just walking on the ice.
Did you guys not see the sign?
What sign?
I could have swore I put a sign right here.
Nope, no sign at all.
There was no sign.
I have no clue what you're talking about.
Okay, but you guys have to get off the ice.
Well, why? Nobody's getting hurt.
Yeah, we're safe.
Okay, it's your choice. You're gonna regret this.
So we continued with our ice skating antics for approximately 10 more minutes. Until the same lady came back up to the pond, but this time she was equipped with a Sony Alpha A7 mirrorless digital camera with the Extendo lens. In other words, she was quite literally about to catch us in 4K. But at least she doesn't know what school we go to. Hey, what school do you guys go to?
Not Stickman Middle School.
Absolutely not.
No, definitely not.
Fuck, she knows. We had to think quick. How are we gonna smoothly get out of this situation without getting in trouble? So we called a boys' emergency meeting. We huddled up and discussed our best plans to get out of this situation. And after combining all of our genius grade 7 brains, we made the ultimate plan. If we started mooning the camera, it would then be illegal for her to take pictures of our middle school cheeks. I don't know how this became our best option, but regardless, we put the plan in motion. I mean, me personally, I got a little shy and kept my pants up, but some of the boys were out there going crazy, looking more caked up than Summer Rae. And after a little while, the lady must have decided it wasn't a great look to have a camera pointed at some 12-year-old cheeks, and she left. Which means the plan had worked. Flawlessly. Now the next day at school, I had completely forgot about it to be honest. But strangely enough, while I was sitting in math class, I hear the little class phone start ringing. Hello? Oh yes, he's here. Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll send him your way. Thank you. Chains, Mr. Principal wants to talk to you. And at this point, I should have picked up on why I was being called to the office, but I had complete faith in our foolproof plan of mooning this stranger that the thought of being in trouble didn't even cross my mind. That was until I walked into the office to see every single one of the boys sitting in Mr. Principal's office. But Mama didn't raise a snitch, so we started capping our asses off.
So, what did you guys do after school yesterday?
Nothing. I played Fortnite.
I was doing a homework.
Don't play stupid with me. I got a call from Mrs. Principal over at Stickman Elementary. So tell me. What were you doing on the pond yesterday?
I wasn't there.
It wasn't us.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't even know what a pond is.
I see. Well, I've got evidence.
And as he shows us this undeniable evidence, you can see this dude Billy's cheeks in the corner of one of the pictures. So I slowly look over at Billy, and he looks over at me.
If you don't stop laughing right now, you're all suspended. That's it. You're all suspended.
And as I explained the situation to my mom, let's just say Mama Chains was not happy.
High school, the only place you'll find nerds and jocks chilling in the same room, where there's fight clubs and book clubs in the same building, where you can find the plug selling something and the school thought giving dome all in the same bathroom. And surely one of the few places you can pursue your educational prowess and to get off that Benjamin in the same institution. High school, man. Love it or hate it, it's quite the experience. And although every single person will have a different experience at high school, there are some things you are guaranteed to encounter. Like the PE sweat, the nerd, that one strict ass teacher, the teacher's pet, the Redditor, the predator, the chill teacher, the plug, the stoner, that one motherfucker who walks like this, the class clown, the band kid, the kid who just never shows up. The hot Cheeto girl. That one sexy ass kid who, he got all the girls and you know what I'm saying? He was like super cool. The bathroom fiend. The, oh my god, I almost failed that test. I did so bad. Oh shit, same. I got a 51%. What about you? Oh my god, I only got a 98.5. The fighter. The anime kid. And the NPCs. Every single one of these individuals make up the magical place we call high school. You come into high school merely a young, innocent, and clueless child. But you leave,
even more clueless than before, bro. Like, when we learned about pi in math class, my dumbass thought I was in culinary arts for 2 goddamn weeks. And that is pi. Chains, are you listening?
Yeah, yeah, we're learning about pi.
Then recite pi.
Flour, egg, some fucking blueberry.
Like, coming into high school as a freshman, I was thinking, I can use my high school experiences and knowledge to figure out what I'ma do in life. Then shit, all of a sudden I'm graduated and my brain is filled to max capacity on bullshit. So now that you're graduated, what are you gonna do with your life?
The mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell.
But one of the most majestic parts of high school is the bathrooms, bro. Like, it's a proven statistic that only 1 in 30 kids actually go to the bathroom to take a piss. And Lord knows what the other 29 are doing, bro. I mean, it could literally be anything from a secret fight club to a drug ring to a fucking Bible study. Like, nothing is out of the picture when it comes to high school bathrooms, bro. But the bathrooms are not the only place where some fuck shit goes down. Cause you know high school students love to see fights, so when there's the slightest hint of beef, there's a motherfucker instigating that shit.
Oh shit, my bad, bro.
Nah, it's all good, don't worry.
Yo, personally, I wouldn't take that shit, bro.
What? Nah, it's fine.
Like, he practically just called you a bitch.
Wait, really?
No, it was an accident.
Wait, what's that?
Oh shit, he just said he's smoking on your grandma's pack right now.
Hey, don't be talking about grams like that.
But tell me why, when some entertaining shit happens, I just happen to miss school that day. Like, I'll go every day of the month, but I get sick for one day? Damn, I'm glad as fuck I'm not at school right now. Yo.
Holy shit, Chains, where are you?
I'm in my bed right now, why?
Ooh.
Jeremy and Tom are running the ones right now.
Fuck, the one day I didn't go.
Wait, what's that in the background?
Oh shit, yeah, they got Lil Uzi performing at school today.
What? Uzi's at our school?
Yeah, check it out.
Yo!
Oh, and they brought in Gordon Ramsay cooking up free lunch today as well.
What? Oh, and I almost forgot. Elon's pulling up and giving what? Everyone Teslas.
No.
I'll see you later, man.
But listen, high school is nothing like these movies painted out to be. Like, all these movies portray the same shit, where Victoria and her goon squad make fun of Ruby, and where Chad and the football team shove Arthur in a locker. Like, I've only seen a motherfucker get shoved into a locker once in my life, and to be honest, I couldn't even see much of it. I mean, it was pretty fucking dark in that locker, bro. But for real, in high school, you don't have to worry about some big body taking your lunch money or some football kid slapping the books out of your hand. The worst thing you'll encounter on your average day at school is your local Redditor. I don't know how they do it, but somehow every joke they make is so unfunny that it just ruins my day, bro. Do you smell that?
Yeah, Jeremy. That's what happens when you don't shower in 2 months.
No, it smells like sussy baka. Like Among Us.
But not to confuse Redditors with Discord mods. I mean, they're pretty much the same thing, but Discord mods shower even less.
To be honest, there is truly only one thing mustier than a Discord mod, and that's the cafeteria food, bro. I mean, this food is completely and utterly ass. Like, somehow these motherfuckers manage to get the food cold and the drinks warm. Like, how the fuck does that shit happen?
And my high school would serve some daily specials, and to be honest, that shit was unidentifiable. Like, you'd see this pile of mysterious substance, and I'd ask the person who made it what it is, like, what's the special today?
You're holding it right now, dumbass.
No, but like, what is it?
Oh, I don't fucking know.
And my school refused to pay people to make good food, so they had students making all the food. So you'd be eating a burger and look up at the person making them, and they'd just be casually scratching their ass. And even with all this free labor, tell me how these motherfuckers have the audacity to be charging $6 for 3 chicken strips, bro. That's $2 for one small, soggy piece of some shit that's probably not even chicken. I mean, that shit is a robbery. And speaking of robbery, the high school change rooms are shockingly similar to Detroit. And we all know, you can't have shit in Detroit. Like, if you leave anything not locked up, it's gone, bro. Your iPhone, gone. $5, finessed. 2-week-old rotten sandwich,
someone's taking that shit. And to be honest, even if you lock that shit up, it's still at high risk. Like, let me paint the picture a little bit. This is PJ. PJ locks all his beloved belongings in his good old PE locker before heading to play some soccer. After scoring a hat trick, PJ comes back to the change room to reacquire his belongings, only to find out someone took PJ's whole goddamn locker. PJ was devastated. Until he remembers, he can check the school's security cameras.
Yeah, take a look.
Yeah, take that shit, take that. Yeah, we'll.
PJ never got his shit back. Now, I don't know about your guys' high schools, but mine was equipped with security cameras everywhere, covering every square inch of the school. But these cameras had the resolution of a fucking toaster. Like, you could have a motherfucker commit a heinous crime. He could proceed to put his face in the camera, state his government name, address, and date of birth, and you would still have no clue who did it, bro. And of course, the teachers. Teachers have the ability to make or break your high school experience. So real quick, let me go over some of the teachers you will encounter in high school. The angry teacher. The chill teacher. The lazy ad teacher. The funny ad teacher. The teacher who doesn't know how to teach shit. Miss Cakenson. The teacher who wants to be the chill teacher, but shit just doesn't work. That teacher that plays videos all class. The gym teacher with several allegations. The weird science teacher. And the teacher who subscribed to Chains For Real. Wow, what a G. And that's high school in a nutshell. There's really only three situations that make me want to just stop existing. The first is when your mom would leave you at the Walmart checkout with no way to pay. The second is having to shit in the school washroom. And the third is being sober at a party full of drunk people. I mean, there is nothing worse than a party where everyone is having fun, you know, dancing and shit. But you're just sober in the corner, eating Cool Ranch Doritos, reconsidering your life decisions. Like, maybe I'm just boring or something, but to me, most of the time, it is not fun being at a party while sober. Cause you'll be chilling, minding your business, and there'll be a bunch of drunk motherfuckers coming up to you like, yo, I am so drunk right now. nice. Yeah, bro. I drank so much. Nice. Because when you're drunk, there is no thought process. You're just blissfully unaware of the fact that you can't dance. But that vodka will have you in the middle of the dance floor like... However, when you're sober, you are actually aware of how stupid some of these drunk people look. Like, you can just take a look around and you'll see a bunch of motherfuckers doing shit they're gonna regret when they're sober. Damn, look at her. Yo, he's gonna regret that for sure. And look at this dude. Wait, Billy. What the fuck are you doing?
I'm twerking on the walls like Peter Parker.
No, what the fuck? Being at a party while sober has me feeling like that one dude who's always like, yo, where the hoes at? Because let's be real, rizzing up a drunk girl while you're sober is practically illegal. Like, yo, are you from Tennessee? Cause I'm trying to fuck.
Sir, hands behind your back.
God damn. And honestly, when you're sober, talking to drunk or high people in general, it's just like interacting with NPCs. Damn, I'm drunk as shit. Man, I love you so much, man. Like, I love you, man. Damn, bruh. I'm zooted as fuck. When you put bread in a toaster and it becomes toast, where the fuck did the bread go?
Faded than a hoe, faded than a hoe, faded than a hoe, faded than a hoe.
Is this dude emoting? Like, I remember one time I was sober at this function, chilling on the couch, probably playing Clash Royale or something, and there was a visibly drunk dude to the right of me and a obviously drunk girl to the left of me. And without exchanging a single word, they just started making out in front of me, bro. And that situation was weird as fuck, but like,
I had to stick it out and get that 3 crown, you know what I'm saying?
But honestly, I feel like that situation kind of sums up the feeling of being sober around a bunch of drunk people. It feels like you're third wheeling, but with like 100 people. But maybe that's just me, because I know some people who don't even need to drink. They just act like they're drunk all the time.
Jump, 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 jump.
Oh, shit. Ah, god damn.
Holy shit, how much did you drink?
Oh nah, nothing. I'm sober as hell.
What the fuck?
And I also know people who drink hella and somehow get more antisocial.
Oh shit, are you sober too?
Nah, I'm drunk as shit. I just get depressed when I'm drunk.
Oh, okay. Oh,
please
shit.
Come back.
Oh, damn.
Please,
oh,
Carol, I miss you.
Fulcrum, come in. Faded in a hole. Faded in a hole. Faded in a hole. Faded in a hole. Faded in a hole.
Damn, bro. We gotta get as high as this dude. Facts. How does this motherfucker get so baked? I don't even know. Let me check. Oh, here.
Yep, just getting faded in a hole out here at the fucking goddamn Burger King, you feel me? About to take my first smackington off the Benjamin.
Damn, it looks like we gotta hit the Benjamin in a Burger King. Yo, what the fuck is a Benjamin? I don't know, but I'm trying to find out. Yo, how's it going? Yeah, we're good, but I was looking to buy a Benjamin. Damn, you dudes are about to take a trip to Benjamin City, huh? Yeah, we're about to hit the Benjamin and things of that nature. Awesome. Here you go, Yodi gang. Thanks, man. Oh, and dudes, but between you and me, there's a Burger King next door, if you know what I mean. Thank you.
Alright, so I guess we just walk in this bitch and start hotboxing this Burger King.
Bro, isn't that illegal? I don't fucking know.
God damn! This shit hits.
Let me try.
Damn!
Unfortunately, you guys can't be doing that in our Burger King.
Nah, it's chill. We're just getting faded than a hoe.
Wait, you're getting faded than a hoe?
Yeah, we're getting faded than a hoe.
Shit, I know you're getting faded than a hoe. My bad, Yodi gang.
Nah, you're good. You want a little hit?
Shit, I might have to take this Benjamin to Blinkerton City, you feel me?
Yeah, I feel you.
Damn, this Benjamin rips harder than a hoe.
Yeah, have a good rest of your shift, man.
Yeah, you too.
Fuck, did I just say you too?
Listen, I don't know about you, but this Benjamin got me feeling
faded than a hoe, faded than a hoe, faded than a hoe, faded than a hoe, faded than a hoe.
Wait, are you hearing what I'm hearing?
Oh shit, is that?
It can't be.
Need I say more, Yodi gang?
Holy shit, it's him, Damien Luck 925.
I am the original Fulcrum. Fulcrum, come in. Yup. Yo, gang, you feel me?
No way. We were literally just hitting the Benjamin in this Burger King.
Double Benjamin City session, shall we?
The double Benjamin? Damn, bro, we gotta try the double Benjamin.
Yo, where are we?
I'm faded out here in Yodi land, you feel me?
No fucking way. It's a city full of Damien 925. Yo, this is crazy. Bro, these munchies are crazy.
Facts, let's go cop some food.
Holy shit. 7-Eleven is just full of motherfuckers hitting the Benjamin.
The whole goddamn store is hotboxed.
Yo, quick, buy the Doritos before I pass out. Oh, fuck.
Hey, wake up. Wake up, hey, please wake up.
Hey, it's gonna be okay, it's gonna be okay.
Just got 5 things to say.
Yeah, what is it? What is it?
Faded in a hole, faded in a hole, faded in a hole, faded in a hole, faded in a hole.
Need I say more? Hey, but you gentlemen have a good rest of your day.
You know what they say, there's a first for everything, bro. Like your first steps, your first dance moves, your first words. Dada!
Hey, would you look at that? We gotta get some milk. I'll be right back.
Your first stepdad? New dada?
Yeah, nah, I'm ahead of two, actually.
And your first kiss? Man, the things I would do to go back and completely erase that shit from existence. Bro, all these Disney movies I was seeing as a kid had these first kisses turning ugly-ass frogs into some fucking Giga Chads and shit. Like, spoiler alert, fucking ribbon. On top of that, the fact you have to close your eyes, like, bro, imagine you're learning how to golf and you're about to take your first swing and these motherfuckers are like,
yeah, now do it with your eyes closed.
Bro, this is my first time. What do you expect to happen? Like, honestly, my first kiss is top 5 worst chains moments of all time. And let's just say it's not 5 or 4. Or 3. That shit was really bad, bro. So with that being said, this story takes place in grade 7, which is the year I got my first girlfriend. Now, I told this story a few months back, but I purposely left out the part of my first kiss. Well, gosh diddly darn, Chains. Why would you do such a preposterous thing? And the truth is, I was planning on taking this shit to the grave with me, bro, but fuck it. Sometimes you just gotta let the world know.
Okay, you're right. I got something to get off my chest.
Epstein? Wait, what the? So for the homies who haven't seen the video, one day me, Bob, and Billy were mobbing around our local mall when we seen these 3 girls from our class. So we walk up to them and lay down some of the meanest 12-year-old riz these girls had ever seen. Hey, yo, Shorty, I think I just shit my pants. Can I get into yours?
What the fuck?
Oh, shit. My bad. My fault. Hey, yo, Shorty, are you a cigarette?
Am I a cigarette? What?
'Cause I'm trying to get lit and put your butt in my mouth.
Wait, what?
Nothing.
Please.
Holy shit, bro. Let me guess. You all got restraining orders.
No.
Worse. We got fucking girlfriends. And 12-year-old me had no business dating nobody, bruh. Like, my dumbass could barely even handle playing Fortnite with a girl. Like, oh, hey, GamerGirl97.
Hey.
I'm kind of low. Can I chug on your jugs?
What?
Oh, no, sorry. Whoa, I mean, I just want to slurp on your juice.
No,
I'm sorry.
Ew.
I mean, like, I need heals. Can I trade you? What do you need?
Oh, yeah. Is there any way you could give me some mats?
Oh, yeah. No, I'd love to give you my wood.
Huh?
Or bricks. Or metal. Or anything you need,
okay.
Anything else?
Yeah, I don't have a shotgun yet.
Oh, shit, I got 3.
Okay.
I can give you 2 pumps.
Ew.
Or no, it's 1 pump. No,
wait.
Oh, sorry, I can give you shotguns, I mean.
Okay.
Where are you?
I'm in this little wood fort I made.
Oh, okay, I see you. Let me come in your box.
Yes.
So needless to say, every single interaction I had with my girlfriend was awkward as shit. Because I had to pre-plan things to say in my head, and as soon as that shit went off script, I was cooked.
Hey, Jessica, how you doing today?
Honestly, just not the best.
Oh, that's good. What'd you do today?
Oh, I don't know. Just did my makeup.
Hey, me too.
You did your makeup?
Yeah, we have so much in common. Have a nice day.
Fuck!
And on one Friday after school, me, Bob, Billy, and our girlfriends all went to the mall together, as we did every single day. But on this specific Friday, we rubbed together a few brain cells and realized,
yo, do you got money?
Nah.
You got money?
Zero.
You got money?
I'm broke.
You got money?
No.
You got money?
Yo. Why are we at the mall?
I don't know.
I mean, we could all go to my house.
Yeah. What
you doing? And so, of course, as the good kid I was, I text my mom to ask her to go. Greetings, mother. I would like to know if it's in the realm of possibility that you would be so kind to grant me your permission to visit the household of my dearest acquaintance, Nikki. Looking forward to hearing from you, your favorite son, Chains. And I immediately get a call.
Let me speak to her parents.
Now, I, Chains for real, have never dated a 12-year-old boy in my life, and I honestly don't plan on it. But even in grade 7, I could use my logic and reasoning skills to understand if your boyfriend had to get his mom to talk to your friend's mom for permission to slide to the crib. Instant ick, bro. There's just no way. She'd probably break up with me on the spot. So I'm doing anything I can to not let that happen.
Hey there, Miss For Real. This is Nikki's mom. I just wanted to let you know, Chains and his friends are welcome over anytime because they're...
Because they're goated with the sauce.
Shit.
Oh, hey, Nikki's mom. Sorry, it's kind of hard to hear you over all this bullshit. You're not allowed at her house. Come home now.
James, are you coming?
Look, Mom, I'm not gonna lie. You gotta lock the fuck in right now. This is the first time in my life I ever been invited to a girl's house and there's cheeks up for grabs. Like, Mom, this is my only opportunity. If you don't let me go, the for real bloodline might just end with me.
Okay, listen, Chains. I'll let you go this time, but you have to be home at 9 p.m. sharp.
Yay, thank you so much, Mom.
Now I'm paraphrasing, but the point is she let me go with a curfew of 9 p.m. So all six of us leave the mall, hop on the bus, and get off at Nikki's house. We go inside, sit on the couch, and now...
It's even more awkward, bruh, because instead of walking around the mall, all we had to entertain ourselves was ourselves.
And just like any other awkward middle school scenario, that shit went like...
Truth or dare?
Yeah, that's
exactly
down.
What I was thinking.
And my heart instantly dropped, bro.
Cause I knew if I picked dare, I would have to kiss Jessica and shit, bro.
That's a whole lot scarier than playing Fortnite with GamerGirl97.
But regardless, Nikki starts the game of truth or dare.
Hey Billy, truth or dare?
Yo, truth.
What's your favorite color?
Blue.
Oh, what? This shit's not even bad.
Okay, then Chains, truth or dare?
Truth.
No. What do you mean, no? It's truth or dare.
I said truth or dare.
Dare.
What the fuck?
Okay, fine, dare.
You have to kiss Jessica.
Bro, this time it wasn't a pickup line. When I say I just shit my pants.
I mean, not literally, but metaphorically, I was shitting bricks, bro.
And when I turned to Jessica, she's just sitting there straight-faced as fuck.
So, Jessica, are you down? like hypothetically speaking, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going in. Sorry. Let me just, Alright, bro, I'm not gonna lie, this is fucking weird. You guys are just watching and shit, like, I don't know, it's just kinda...
Oh, so if we weren't watching you do it?
Yeah, I would actually. Wait, what the fuck?
Every single one of these motherfuckers ran to the corner and started staring at the wall, like...
Did you do it yet?
We're not looking till you do it.
Yo, hurry up, dumbass.
So now I got all this pressure on me to do this shit, but Jessica's out here looking at me like...
Hey, how was your day?
Yo, shut the fuck
just up. Just kiss her already.
What are you yapping about?
And I deadass didn't know how to go about it. I ended up sitting on this couch nervous as hell, awkward as hell, looking stupid as fuck for 20 minutes, bruh.
Now, 20 minutes in general doesn't sound that long, but imagine sitting on a couch in complete silence with everyone just... Bro, just watch this.
My brother in Christ.
That was 10 seconds, bruh. Imagine doing that times 120.
So after the second longest 20 minutes of my life, I say, you know what? Fuck it.
And Nikki's mom walks in the room.
Hey, who wants snacks? Oh.
And at this point, I checked my shitty-ass Samsung Galaxy 3, and it was already 8:50 p.m. And with a curfew of 9, I had no choice but to lock in.
So I lick my lips, close my eyes, and real quick, I smash our mouths together. And when I turn around, not a single motherfucker is facing the wall.
I look the other way, and Nikki's mom is peeking around the corner with her fucking mac and cheese and shit.
So I made like my pops, and I was out that hoe.
Pleasure doing business, Jessica.
Wait, what? Where are you going?
Thanks for having me, Nikki's mom.
What the hell was that?
And I proceeded to sprint home, making it home at 8:59, exactly 1 minute before my curfew. And that night, when I went to bed...
I couldn't sleep, bro. I haven't been able to sleep since. Damn, I should have taken this shit to the grave with me. Fuck!
We are currently facing a life-threatening epidemic that is threatening the lives of many teens around the world. Oh, what's that? Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay, it has been brought to my attention that there's a new strain let loose that is infecting more teens than ever. The strain is propylene glycol formaldehyde. Street name, Guava Ice. So stay safe out there, and back to you, Linda.
Linda.
What? Oh, shit.
Man, way back when, somewhere in Timbuktu, a Homo sapien found a plant by the name of tobacco, and for whatever reason, somewhere in this dude's caveman brain, he decided,
me. Smoke now.
And that he did. And as humans slowly evolved, smoking did too. And soon, motherfuckers went from looking all old and wise, smoking these big old pipes, to soon smoking cigars on some mafia boss shit, which turned into cigarettes. Now, back in the day, if you were stressing, Doc would prescribe you a pack of good old cigarettes. Sore throat?
Cigarettes.
Oh, you got a cough?
Here. Smoke a cigarette.
But after a while, people's teeth started looking all British and shit, so they decided,
boy, I don't think these are healthy, innit?
So we decided we needed to make cigarettes better, and you know what makes everything better? The letter E. Your mail's taking too long to come in? Email. Wait, what's that? You wanna play sports, but your ass at every single sport?
Esports.
Oh, you got daddy issues?
E-girl.
So of course, when people realize cigarettes are killing them...
E-cigarettes.
Man, one thing leads to another and shit. You got yourself a Vaporizer Gen Y GTX box mod with 3 USB charging ports, a speaker, and a 6-inch LED touchscreen that can play Flappy Bird. Like, vaping is just getting a little too advanced, bro. Like, I remember one time I was chilling in the washroom with my homie Billy, and of course a motherfucker walks in with a vape. But this was no regular vape, no. This shit looked like a gadget straight out of fucking Star Wars. Yo, you wanna hit?
A hit?
A hit of your iPhone?
iPhone?
This is that eSmoke FTX 763 3rd series, my boy. Watch this. Yo, did he just hotbox the whole bathroom in one hit?
yes the fuck I did.
And this shit's 100 Nick.
Holy shit, where did you find 100 Nick?
Yeah, I ended up mixing my 50 Nick guava juice with my 50 Nick blueberry ice, and it just kind of added up to 100.
Bro, I don't think that's how it works.
Shut up, my mom's calling me.
Yo, fuck you, mom.
And that was the moment I realized there really is levels to this shit. Level 1. Level 1 is the type of dude who isn't addicted, but he'll occasionally take a hit of somebody's device. But level 2, bro's borderline addicted, but he's still in the denial phase.
Bro, are you addicted to vaping?
Addicted? Nah, I don't even vape like that, bruh.
Shit. Do 5 jumping jacks right now.
Bro, what? That's easy.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Oh shit. Level 3. The fiend. This motherfucker is strapped up with some nicotine at all times, and even when he has a vape in his hand, this dude will ask for yours. And God forbid, if this fiend loses his vape, this motherfucker will be stressing like he just lost his only child. A fiend without a vape is the exact equivalent of one of these purple minions. Dude will be itching for that shit, and Lord knows what that man will do for a fix. Level 4, the fiend who sells vapes. At this point, this dude's whole life revolves around vapes. In fact, I'm pretty sure they don't even breathe oxygen anymore. Like, in order to breathe, they need to inhale some chemicals that I can't even spell. Which, honestly, it doesn't even say that much. Like, I can't spell a lot of shit, but what I'm trying to say is their bodies have just fully adapted in order to consume as much nicotine as possible. They breathe that shit, they drink the vape juice, and when they're hungry, shit, they just munch on the vape itself. And the worst part is they can't even run out of vapes. Like, shit, they are the plug. This motherfucker's just the CEO of getting high on his own supply. Like, dude is his own number one customer.
Level 5.
This motherfucker, bro. Like, why do you need a LED touchscreen on your vape, bro? Like, you already have a phone.
Wait. Did you just order that pizza from your vape?
Mm-hmm.
Shit. Where'd you get this from?
And don't get me started on these flavors, bro. Like, tell me why these motherfuckers can make a vape juice and call that shit early riser. And that shit literally tastes like a Wednesday at 6 a.m. Like, what the fuck type of ingredients mixed together to taste like a Wednesday at 6 a.m.? But early riser isn't even the weirdest flavor on the market. Because if you're feeling the family dinner vibes, you can get a rotisserie chicken flavor. Or if your breath is smelling nice and fresh, you could fuck that shit up quick with some garlic flavor juice. And they even got bacon.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie, that shit sounds fire as fuck.
And lastly, now I don't even know if I can say this on YouTube right now, but shit, you can even get yourself some Worcestershire.
Worcestershire.
But regardless, I think we all know the home of nicotine, the eternal hot.